Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Gamertag Radio episode 788. It's Peter here. As you can tell, I am hosting, so that means it's an all-out scumbag edition of Gamertag Radio. That's right. Unfortunately, Paris and Danny are unavailable for this evening, and so it's me. Before we get moving, just want to do a little housekeeping. You can check us out at gamertagradio.com. Check us out on your favorite podcast directories, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and every other podcast directory on the planet. I'm sure you could find us somewhere. Or you can head on over to audioboom.com. Check us out over there. Just do a quick search for Gamertag Radio while you're there and you'll find us. So head on over to Gamertag Radio. Post your comments and feedback there. If you choose, you can also join our Discord server by going to discord.gg/GTR.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Send us a message and we'll hopefully play it on the air and answer your questions or your criticisms or your feedback. So last week, I had an opportunity to go to San Francisco and check out a whole slate of games and downloadable content that Ubisoft was scheduled to unveil at Gamescom. One of those was Rainbow Six. They showcased the new Grim Sky DLC that came out. They unveiled it at the Paris Majors, I believe that's what it's called, for Rainbow Six, one of the six invitational tournaments for the Pro League, as well as Trials Rising. Another fun title. So we're going to be playing some of my interviews with their people shortly after this, but I did want to take a minute and mention another title that I got to check out. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to speak to someone and get some content for everyone, but I was able to get some information just through gameplay, and I'm going to try to upload that to the GTR YouTube page shortly along with some commentary. One of the things that they're unveiling for the new Marching Fire DLC for For Honor, it's a thing called Arcade Mode. Now, typically, you would be, you know, just going through the normal level and hacking and slashing. And let me tell you, I am not good at this game. I spent I'd say about 45 minutes to an hour on the title. And it didn't matter whether I was playing it 2 years ago at E3 when they were first unveiling For Honor, or if it's 2 years later, I am still horrible at the game. So I will, I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, in the new arcade mode that they're unveiling, along with Marching Fire, you'll get to play as two Wulin heroes named Jiang Jun and Nuxia. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, and if I'm not, my Asian heritage is probably going against me at this point. But it's a really fun opportunity for you to play the game on your own without having to affect the story. Although, if you bring in your higher level skilled heroes into the game or into the arcade mode, you have an opportunity to play several levels of difficulty. First one is basic. Moving on, you start going into harder difficulties, whereas you're not only playing harder difficulty enemies, you're also playing multiple, or you're going against multiple adversaries at the same time. Now, in the gameplay that I had an opportunity to do, I walked through that first level. But going into the second level, I had a lot of difficulty, especially when you start going against two and sometimes three opponents. Another instance where I showcased my poor ability to play this game was when I actually bumped up the level of my character to higher than the recommended level of the enemies, and I still got my tookies handed to me. So if you like a fighting game and you like challenges, I highly recommend checking out the For Honor Marching Fire DLC that came out. All right, so now Danny, go ahead and play the first interview. This is going to be my interview with Alexander Karpazis, who is the presentation director for Rainbow Six.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Peter here, Gamertag Radio. Once again, pre-Gamescom event with Ubisoft. I just spent probably about 30, 45 minutes playing Rainbow Six. I did good. I did bad, especially that last match. It was really, really intense.
It was.
So introduce yourself and we'll get right in.
Sure. My name's Alex Karpazis. I'm presentation director for Rainbow Six Siege.
All right. So brand new DLC. We've got new operators coming up with the new season. Let's get into Grim Sky.
Yeah, Grim Sky. So the two new operators, first we have Maverick, who's our third hard breacher. Very, very unique, though, compared to Habana and Thermite. He can make a hole anywhere, and he's a fantastic peeker. Then we have Clash, our first defender with a shield. She has the tasers on the shield. She's mm-hmm. great at slowing down the enemy team and kind of gaining that intel and relaying that to the team.
All right, so let's talk about Maverick first and foremost. He's got like his little burn torch that you can use to burn holes, create murder holes, and you know, and so on and so forth. What can players expect when they're doing that? Is that something that could be used as an offensive weapon? I mean, I don't think it would.
It's not recommended because there is a short distance to it, although it's fantastic if you do see a kill with a blowtorch. That's still... That's a lot of respect right there.
Creep up behind someone and just burn a hole in them.
But he's very, very versatile. So if you're looking at soft breakable surfaces or hard reinforcements, mm-hmm. you can cut a hole in, and it's great for peeking. You can cut a hole at the base and let drones run in. There's a lot of things that you can do just to kind of open up the space and kind of like make Swiss cheese of the level so that the defenders have no idea where you're coming from, especially since he is so quiet when he's making these holes too.
Right. And actually there's a counter using him, because then you can use him against the jamming gadgets like against bandits, gadgets
that's
and stuff
it.
Like that.
Because it's a mechanical weapon, it's not electric. So right. he can actually get rid of a lot of those blockers that Thermite and Habana are kind of countered by.
Right. Fantastic. All right, so let's talk about Clash. Clash was probably the biggest hit here. Everybody wanted to use her. Tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely. So she has her shield. When her shield is up, you can't mm-hmm. melee. You can't shoot. So essentially, you're running around gathering intel, being a huge, huge nuisance for the other team. And then you can always swap to a weapon afterwards. You can kind of get the drop on them if you disappear behind a corner right. and you reappear with a gun after they think you're non-lethal. It's a very, very effective strategy. And she's also super useful when your team communicates. So you can run outdoors. You can take a look at where they're approaching from. You can relay that back. The first half of the game is her gathering intel. And then the second half is her falling back and being that blocker to deny access to any of the plant sites.
Yeah, roaming support, I think, for her is going to be really, really crucial, especially as we go into Six Invitational, which I'd like to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
Hereford, we're back to the old trusty, right? But there's been some improvements.
There has been. And this was the very first map we ever made for the game. So, of course, there's a lot of things that we learned about since then, since we launched the game.
Right.
So we wanted to take this map back, redo a lot of the layouts so that all of the bomb plant sites are viable, making sure that we don't have that one staircase that kind of acts as a bottleneck right. so that defenders can't move around. So introducing a lot more places that you can move around, a lot more destruction, and then giving it a fresh paint of coat, like making sure it's beautiful. Every single floor has its own theme now so that you can make callouts, you know, your orientation mm-hmm. in the space. So it is a completely new map, actually.
And now there's new locations actually as well.
We've modified it so that there are bomb sites on two separate floors in okay. some new locations. We've also changed the rooms around so a bomb site isn't in the exact same place that you would expect for Hereford.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's, now that we've gotten Grim Sky out of the way, you've got Paris Invitational coming up?
Paris Invitational is going on right now.
Okay.
So it actually wraps up this weekend. And then next we have our season 8 finale for the Pro League,
right.
which is happening in Brazil in November.
That's awesome. So there's some new things also with Grim Sky tied to esports. You've got badges and the emblems now.
That's right. So with our first 10 teams, we're bringing out charms and skins that you can get. And that helps support the team, and it also helps support the league in that it will increase the prize pool for the Season 6 Invitational happening in February.
Right, and I think it's a $675,000 or something like that?
$650,000, and then the revenue share will add on to that as well.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that you guys have taken hold of how esports and Rainbow Six is as... It's been a fantastic vehicle for you guys.
We're so happy how fast it's been growing, how the teams are getting more and more competitive, and how everyone's starting to get to the same level of competition so that you see a lot of close matches.
So one thing that me and my friends always talk about is how the Rainbow Six team has taken the title, and you just keep adding layers and layers and layers on top of it. How do you guys come up with... your new operators, how much war room prep goes into coming up with a character like Clash, who's grinning behind her shield when she's deploying her shock darts? How does that happen?
It's a lot of work. We really care about our operators. It kind of starts where we have an idea and we want to make it fun first. So we do whatever we want with that operator, make sure they're fun. And then we take a look at, okay, how do we realize these characters? How do we make them fit in the Clancy world? How do they fit with all the other operators? And then we work on their look and how they play, how they feel, and the balancing. So overall, it takes months of work to think of an operator. And then we have this huge bank of ideas of operators that we kind of save, that we take a look at, and we develop at the same time. So, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, once again, congratulations, Grim Sky. It's a lot of fun. I can attest to it. That last match, I'm still kind of sweaty and shaking about it.
I just watched, and my heart was racing, man. It was great.
Good. Well, I'm glad. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you in 6th Invitational, maybe?
Cheers, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
One little tidbit of information that didn't make it into that interview was that now, if you don't select your character, your operator, in time, you're given a randomly selected character out of your available operator list. Previously, you were just given the recruit, which is just a really baseline player. His weapons is okay. You don't get to put any attachments or optics are on there. It's just a baseline character with no special perks. So I think this is this shows how Ubisoft takes player feedback, provides quality of life adjustments to their title. And it just shows how Rainbow Six Siege has matured over the years. Once again, thank you, Alex, for your time during the interview. All right. So now we're going to go a little onto the wild side. Here's my interview with John Lloyd, the community developer for Trials Rising.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right.
All right, Peter here at pre-Gamescom, Ubisoft, San Francisco. I just... had so much fun playing Trials Rising, and I have a chance here to speak with John Lloyd. What do you do at Ubisoft, and let's go from there.
So I'm a community developer at Red Link Studio. So I work with our community, kind of all aspects. I work with the community, but I also work with the dev team to make sure that we're putting in features that are going to support the community and that they're going to enjoy.
So my first experience with Trials was it was an experiment. I didn't know or think it was going to be something I was going to enjoy. I do have some familiarity with the sport. I did BMX when I was a kid.
Okay.
I loved Dave Mirra BMX.
Sure.
So I love those things. I was like, all right, let me try this out.
All right.
And it became one of those guilty pleasures where you're playing because you have nothing else to do. And you're like, oh, I don't want to get too serious. I just want to go some silliness and fun. So I've always loved the Trials series because of that.
Awesome. Thank you.
What brought about Trials Rising?
So we've been trying some different things with Trials lately. So we did Trials Fusion, where we took Trials into the future. Mm-hmm. Then we did Trials of the Blood Dragon, where we went really crazy. So there was kind of a strong desire to kind of like bring it back, do something a little more grounded, based in reality, but still with that over the top Trials flavor. Mm-hmm. And we also, we really wanted to make a game for our fans, for our community, and we knew that that's what they wanted. So we kind of set out to go back to the basics, but at the same time, like really expand on what Trials can be.
All right. So in the demo that we played today, across the United States, various maps, we start jet setting over to Europe and eventually into Russia. One thing I noticed, and it was the first thing that caught my ear, was the music selection as you traverse from city to city. Like in the West Coast, it was a hard rock kind of thing. It was like Motorhead-ish almost kind of.
Sure.
Then we went to New York, and it was hip-hop. Then we went to London, or we went to Europe, and then it was like techno. And I was just like, okay, I really, really dig this. Is that thematic through all of the cities or ports that you go to in the game?
Yeah, so this is the first time in Trials that we've had a licensed soundtrack, and like I and a bunch of other people on the team were super excited about that. It adds a whole new level of flavor to the game. And one thing we wanted to do was have a nice variety of music, because obviously everybody likes different styles of music. So we wanted to have a little something in there for everybody. But at the same time, we wanted the music to kind of match with the tracks. So you're going to find as you play through the game that different tracks are going to have a different selection of music that go along with them. And it is going to be kind of really genre based. So like certain types of tracks, like you mm-hmm. said, New York's going to have the hip hop. You know, we have a skate park track that also is going to be playing hip hop, but maybe a little bit of punk too, right. Something like that.
Yeah. Can you aside? Cause I mean, Lemmy has that unmistakable voice. Like, you know, whenever it's a Motorhead song, when you hear him start wailing out, you're like, yep, that's Lemmy.
Yeah.
So can you, who are some of the artists that are in that soundtrack? Can you tell?
So I don't have a full track list at the moment that I can quote off the top of my head, but the one that I'm personally most excited for is we have a track by Jurassic 5.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Jurassic 5. So I was super excited when they confirmed that we were going to have them in the game.
That's fantastic. It's funny. I was just playing a game a couple days ago and somebody asked me about some hip hop and I was like, oh, well, he was like, naming like one of those voices in hip hop, like 90s hip hop. I was like, Charlie Tuna.
Exactly.
Like, Charlie Tuna, anytime you hear his voice, you're like,
right.
J5 all day.
Yep.
Cool. So you're working with the community. How much involvement did the development of the, or did the community have with this? Like this is part of your job. So
sure.
How much interaction did you get with the community to be able to say, okay, this is what we wanted to see. Here's what we want to see.
Right. So over the last few games, obviously like we have a pretty good reputation at Red Links for being close with our community. And we've gotten a lot of feedback over the last few games from them about kind of like what they like about the game, what they really want out of a Trials game. So that was the baseline that we started with when we started the project. Like we were looking at all the feedback and it was like, what do people really want from Trials? But then we were like, if we're going to go that way, we need to take that further. So we actually started bringing some of our players in. So players that we've known for a little while that have been with our franchise, that have like interacted with us as developers. We started bringing them in what we call the Trials Elite program. So a few of them have been with us almost since the start of the program or the start of the project. Mm-hmm. And then we've added more kind of as time went on. So now it's a group of about 20 players. They get builds of the game. Like we've brought most of them to the studio and they've been giving us feedback throughout the process on what we've been doing and kind of what they think about it. And that's really kind of helped guide some of the decisions that we have to make throughout development.
That's awesome. One of these characters, he's all get up like he's like a overweight like he's like an overweight Evel Knievel. Who is he?
So I'm assuming you're talking about Antti Ilvesuo. He's our creative director at Red Links.
Yes, I think he was the one in the same outfit at the E3 press.
Exactly,
office.
Exactly. Okay, right. So Antti's definitely a character. He's a fun guy to work with. And he really is kind of the mastermind behind Trials.
Okay.
He's one of the co-founders of Red Link Studios, started it back in 2000. And he's been with the Trials series since the beginning.
Does he get like active like interaction with the development of the game or?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's their creative director. So all creative decisions, you know, like go through him. You know, he's very involved in the track design, like what the tracks are going to look like, what kind of obstacles they're going to have. He's spends a lot of time with our level team, a lot of time with our designers, making sure that like his vision comes through in the game.
Cool. One last question. In the gameplay session, there was like this world race. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that evolved, and then how have you done on that race? Because I saw the guy next to me, like, he's still over there playing, and like that's his mission. He's not going home until he finishes and beats the record. So
okay, sure. So we always like to add a little competition to trials. Leaderboard competition has been a big part of trials for a while, and it's all about kind of like beating your friends and then them beating you back. It's like this back and forth that can go. And while you're competing with each other, you're also at the same time, you're really kind of competing with yourself. It's all about self-improvement.
Right.
So we have a little competition going on one of the tracks today during this event. And it's really been great to see like so many people like really getting into it. So to answer your question, my best time on that track right now is about 116 and change. And I mean, which is decent, pretty good. The best times we've been getting today at the event are in the kind of like a low 120s.
Yeah, I think the record right now is at 127. I'm curious, is that like a score that you consistently get, like that 116 as you said, or was that like that one moment in Zen, like that it was like everything went slow motion, like I'm in the zone?
That is definitely my best run. I haven't been able to top it so far. I tried a few times today, and I was getting around 117 on a pretty regular basis, but I haven't been able to reach that 116 again.
All right. So last, when does the game come out? What platforms? And
absolutely. So we're coming out February 12th. PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Nintendo Switch. And if you want an early taste, we got closed beta coming up September 13th. Registration is still open.
Awesome. More information, where do they go?
Trials Games or trialsgame.com. And if you want to sign up for the beta, just put a little slash beta there.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So that wraps up episode 788 of Gamertag Radio. This is Peter signing off. Once again, you can check us out on all your favorite podcast directories, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all the other podcast directories. So for Danny and Paris, this is Pete signing out. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.